Revelation chapter 2 and 3 deals with the seven churches in Asia. The Lord has John write unto them. And five of the seven he rebukes, but two of the seven are not rebuked. And we're going to deal with one of these that he's not rebuked today. In Revelation chapter 3, look in verse 7. And the Bible says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man can take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new song." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you've given us, and just the mercy and grace that you've allowed us to have. And Lord, we thank you for the good choir singing. And Lord, I'm glad you wrote a name down. And Lord, that you give us that heavenly home. We thank you for that today. We ask if there's one here that's lost, that does not know you, I pray they'd get saved today. Somebody has a need, I pray that need would be met, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, by the wonderful, wonderful grace that you give us, that you can help and that people's needs today. Maybe somebody needs comfort or direction, I pray it's found in you. Now touch us and anoint us afresh for a little while. Give us an ad, an unction from the Holy One, and touch us from heaven. Lord, let us be very attentive to the Holy Spirit today while we're preaching, and let these dear people be attentive to him as he moves upon their heart. And Lord, might you open hearts and that to the receiving of the Word of God. We love you and we thank you. Meet with us now and save that sinner's nearest tale, for these in Jesus' name we do ask. Amen and amen. That last verse, I said that I will write upon him my new name. I believe I said new song there, but he said my new name. I had that song on my mind. That he wrote my name, what y'all sung in the choir. But as we look at this church here, the only other church in the seven, Smyrna was not rebuked, which was the second church he talked about in chapter 2. But here, the church of Philadelphia, in a time of midst of no doubt of tribulation, because he says there are those of the synagogue of Satan which say they are Jews but do lie. Those that were false, those that were false children of God. And by the way, not everybody that comes to church and sits on church pew saved, by the way, you need to know that you're saved today and have eternal security. He said, let the wheat and the tares go together. But as the Lord looked at this church and talked about this church right here, you'll find out that one of the first things that he said about them is he said, "I know thy works." Now today as a church, of Unity Baptist Church, the Lord knows our works. Can I say that God knows what we're doing and what we're not doing? As a matter of fact, not only does he know what this church does and does not do, he knows what you do and does not do today. He knows your words. As a matter of fact, every church that he talked about, he said, "I know thy works." And he tells me, he said, "I put before you an open door." Can I tell you today that I believe the same thing is true for us today as a church and as church people? God has put before us an open door to be able to serve him and to be able to do what he would have us to do. He said, "You've got little strength," but they did have strength to go on. And said, "You've kept my word." As a matter of fact, in verse 10, he said, "You've kept the word of my patience." And he said, "I'll keep you from the time, from the hour of temptation, that shall come upon all the earth." And so we know this is the Lord Jesus talking to them, because he that is holy and true hath the key of David. We go back to the book of Isaiah and talk about that some other time. And he that shutteth and no man open and no man shutteth. And so we know that he has all power. But as I look at this church and I thought about this church, that in the day and the time that he was writing about right here, that they had a little strength, but they kept the word of God. They done the word of God. It seems like they had very little to go on and very little to do with. He commended them for the work that they were doing. I begin to think about them and think about the church in a whole, that this was an extraordinary church. This was an extraordinary church. Do you know what the word extraordinary means? I asked my wife, she, on the way to church, this morning, I said, what does extraordinary mean? And you know, it took me forever to learn how to say extraordinary. I couldn't say that word for a long time. I hope I'm saying it right today. She said it means extraordinary. That's the way it's spelled. Extraordinary. It's spelled like extraordinary. I said, well, if it's extraordinary, then that means it's no different than anybody else's. Matter of fact, it seems that way. She got it right. She was just playing with me this morning. But extraordinary means beyond or out of the common order or method. Extraordinary means not in the usual or customary or regular course. It means exceeding the common degree or measure, or something that is uncommon, rare, or wonderful. I think most of us know what extraordinary means. Extraordinary is that which is beyond what is normal and usual. When we say that that person is extraordinary, then they probably got some kind of talent, or if you say that person is an extraordinary piano player, then they're probably better than just the average person when it comes to playing. When you say that they're an extraordinary worker, then they're going beyond what is required of everybody else. Out of all the churches that their competitor, and by the way, let me say this, as I preach, by the way, I'm preaching on the extraordinary church, we're not to compare ourselves and that to other churches to see if we're extraordinary. What we're going to do is compare ourselves to the Word of God and see if that calls us extraordinary this morning. Listen, we can compare ourselves. We can always find somebody out there that's doing less than we're doing, and that for the cause of Christ, and say, hey, we're doing pretty good today. Hey, we're looking pretty good. But when we compare ourselves, what was it Paul said? He said, we're not of that company that compares ourselves with ourselves, you know. Listen, that's not wise to do that. But when we compare ourselves and that against the Word of God, and look at the churches that He commends in the Word of God, what are they doing? And maybe we ought to be doing what they're doing. Amen. If we want commendation of the Lord. But what makes an extraordinary church? Can I tell you, the Lord loves the church, died for the church, ordained the church. I'm a church man. I don't think you can serve God outside of the church today. I really don't. I don't think you can live apart from coming and participating and being part of church. And let me tell you this morning, your pastor's not dumb, and he knows not everybody believes that, and he knows that not everybody that comes to this church believes that. But I'm telling you right now, on the authority of God's Word, you cannot serve Him the way you need to serve Him apart from the church. You can't do it. And so we look right here. Three things we're going to look at about the church this morning, and look at the church of Philadelphia, and hopefully give you something that God's give us. Number one, what made them extraordinary was their message. Notice he said, I know thy works, but, and as he said that, I've put a door before you and you've got a little strength. And he said, you've kept my word and hast not denied my name. Can I tell you that I believe that this was a church that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, they loved Him so much that they were willing to carry it out and carry out the message. And that Lord, He said, you've kept my word. Listen, I believe they kept the word when it said to go preach the gospel unto every creature. I believe when it said to let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe they done that. Let me ask you this morning, church, how many of us is carrying out? You know that the responsibility of our church, first and foremost, is to carry the gospel outside these doors out here, I and tell a lost and dying world that Jesus can save them. How can I tell you that? There's folk don't want to hear that. I understand that. But you say, well, folk don't want to hear it. Folk don't want us knocking on our doors. Folk don't want us meeting them in the parking lot and giving them a tract. Hey, but that don't change what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to carry out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them what Christ done for them. Hey, listen, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hey, you want to make a difference in Athens, Tennessee? Give out the gospel and that'll make a difference in this city that we're in today. Amen. Hey, you want to make a difference in your home? I promote the gospel. You want to make a difference at your workplace? Promote the gospel. You just want to make a difference, friend? Promote the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Hey, in it is the power of tongues that can change men, women, boys, and girls and give them a new hope and something different in their life than what the world can give them. Amen. Lord, a shout right there. It's different than what it used to be. Amen. Thank God for that. Hey, listen, what's this church doing? What are we doing as a whole? What are we doing? I always say that old song sometimes, I shall not be moved. Praise God. I'm not going to be moved from the truth, but some of us, I don't want to be moved from the pew. Amen. And so he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Paul said, that's how the gospel came. In power. There's power in the gospel. I believe the church of Philadelphia, what made them an extraordinary church is they had an extraordinary message because it's about an extraordinary man. Can I tell you the message that we carry out? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what our church is doing. Friend, it's about Him today. A lot of people promote their church when they ought to be promoting Christ and that what He's done. And then Christ will promote the church and that to get folk in. Amen. I'm telling you, when you testify, Paul put it like this. He said, but none of these things move me. He was fixing to go to Jerusalem. And he thought he was probably going to die when he went to Jerusalem. And so they told him, you ought not to go. And so he goes, and as he gets ready to go, he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. How many of us are testifying of the gospel of the grace of God? You know, when somebody sees a difference in you, they see a difference in me and say, boy, there's something different about her. There's something different about him. You know what? They'll want to know what's different about you. And then they'll say, boy, I might need to go to church where they're going. Now you can invite them and you should invite folk to church. You know what? If you'll invite lost people to come to church, I'll preach to them. Amen. I'm telling you, if you'll get them in here, I'll tell them Jesus loves them. Whoo! Ain't that good today that Jesus loves you? Boy, I tell you, we miss that so much. Are we awake this morning? Hey, Jesus loves you this morning. And if you're lost, wants to save you. My soul, we sung that old song this morning. He wrote my name. Boy, I'm glad He wrote my name down in heaven. He done something for me. I'm telling you, I was feeling good over there. I was singing that old song. But let me ask you, what do people see in us? What do people see in us? You tell them you're a member of Unity Baptist Church and you go to work and you go out in the community. And listen, you're not only a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're also a representation of this church when you go out. Brother Jeff talked about that being a messenger and an ambassador. And that this morning when you go, what have I told you before? If you're going to go out there and sin, don't tell them you're a member over here. I don't want folks to know that. Amen. Don't tell them you come to church here if you're going to go out in the world and let folks see you sin. But you know what Peter said in 1 Peter 3? He was talking to wives that had lost husbands. And you know what he said right here? He said, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That word conversation, again, is your deportment, how you carry yourself while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with prayer. He said, they may not listen to the word of God when you speak it to them, but they'll look at your life and see there's something different on the inside of you. I'm telling you, when you go on the job site, folk ought to see there's something different. When you get in a family reunion, folk ought to see there's something different. this church. I'm telling you, folk will be able to see that there's something different about us and what we do as a whole, and that we're trying to promote the gospel. You know why we're on the radio as much as we are? Because we want to promote the gospel. You know why we're on the internet? We want to promote the gospel and help folk that need help. I'm not ignorant into thinking that there's just a bunch of lost people turning into a gospel radio station. But every now and again, you don't ever know what's liable to happen. Amen. You never know who's liable to turn across that dial, somebody looking for something. What are we carrying out to the world? And do folks see the gospel? And as Paul talked to the church at Colossae, he said, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. He said, don't get moved away. There's a lot of churches today that's moved away from the hope of the gospel. They're trying everything else. They're trying everything else to build the church. They're trying everything else to reach their community. Hey, listen, I believe we need to be good to our community and good to our town and good to our county and good to our state and just be good all the way around. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be good to them, you're going to have to tell them and that the gospel. In a day when folk are moving away from the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for sinners. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. An extraordinary church carried an extraordinary message. You know, today, if we're going to be extraordinary, we're going to have to promote the extraordinary message. The extraordinary church, not only in that, kept the gospel going, but listen, they were concerned about the whole Word of God. You know, there's a lot of churches, all you'll ever get out of them is John 3:16, and I believe that's enough to save sinners, amen? I do, but friend, if you just eat milk and cornbread all the time, you ain't going to have a whole lot. Amen? Hey, I tell you, we went to my grandmother's the other day, and she's got 21. She got 19 box elder bushes, and then 2 snowball bushes, and me and my dad, we trim them every year. We trim them up every year. She likes it done in the second week of October. And by the way, she'll hear this message on the radio when it goes out. So I say good morning to my grandmother. And so we go back. But you know, she laid out a whole spread. We had worked probably 2 hours. And then she lays out pinto beans and cornbread and greens. It was good. And roast on top of it. You know, if all I'd have had was a glass of milk and a little bit of cornbread, that probably wouldn't have lasted me a whole lot. When the heat got on and the work got on and it got to going. Hey, I'm telling you now, you need to know you're saved. You need to know that. But you also need to know that you're kept forever. You need to know that He's going to be there to strengthen you when you get in the midst of the battle. And by the way, there is a battle that we get into. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaring around the world about seeking whom he may devour. Paul told them in the book of Acts, chapter 20, the church at Ephesus, he said, for I have not shunned, I declare unto you all the counsel of God. Hey, their message was not only just the gospel, but it was the whole book. You can't have part of it and have it your way. This ain't Burger King. Amen. It's Coca-Cola, if you want to say it's the real thing. Amen. Huh? But you can't have it your way. Listen, you need this whole book. To be an extraordinary church, we're going to have to preach and teach this whole book. We're going to have to deal with holy living and separation and humility. We're going to have to deal with putting others first and fruit bearing and all those things. And then we need to go live it. Don't you think so, church? Don't you think that folks should see our humility and our love, not only that we have for them to tell them about Christ, but then our love one for another that we have here at the church? I believe what made this church extraordinary, not only did they love God, but they loved one another. Their message was of love, but they also loved one another. What are we doing with the message that God has gave us? What are we doing? We say, well, you preach it on Sunday mornings. And yes, I do. And Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and I try never to stray too far from the cross. I understand that. And that's what's going to get lost folks saved. And it's good to sit down and just have some cornbread and milk every now and again. But you know, every now and again, I need to get a little more cornbread and milk. I need to be reminded to live holy and to live separated. And to have humility and to love my brother.
and to love my sister, that we are all of one body in Christ Jesus the Lord. We need to be reminded of that, encouraged of that, sometimes rebuked because of that. I've not been doing what I need to do. Amen. Their message was right. But then number two, their motive was right. If you look right here, he says, you've kept my word and not denied money. I believe their motive was right in what they were doing for the Lord. I believe they were doing it for Him. You know, if you go over to Revelation chapter 2 and you look at the church of Ephesus, are we doing okay this morning? We all right? All right. Ephesus chapter 2. Look in Revelation chapter 2. Get excited up here. Amen. And don't you want to be an extraordinary church? Amen. I want Unity Baptist Church to be extraordinary. I want us to be different. But when people in Athens, Tennessee talk about us, it's not us they're talking about, but the Savior that we're promoting and the motive that we have today. Then people love God. They look at us and say, boy, there's some strange people. But I believe they love God. I believe they love God. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus, right, these things said, he that holdeth seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, there it is, and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou hast cast not by them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast mourned and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Now I'm telling you, this church worked, didn't they? I mean, they worked. I mean, they went and they tried people to find out whether it's true or not. They labored and worked. They ain't fainted. But look in verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I'll come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. What was their problem? They had left their first love. Can I ask you, why did you come this morning? What's your motive of being here? Did you come because you desired to come to the house of God? Did you come here because, boy, you was excited about hearing the singing and getting to sing? I mean, man, I don't know what y'all heard out in the choir since I was sitting over here. But, man, I'm telling you, on that very first song, y'all rolled back and sung. I'm telling you, I was enjoying it. I was enjoying every bit of it. But what's your motive of being here today? Do you have a desire to be in God's house today? Or did you come more out of duty? Because you felt like if you didn't come today, God might get you or somebody's going to talk about you. Both might happen. Amen. The first one, that would be up to God. And the second one, we shouldn't talk about you, but we might. Amen. Somebody might talk. Or did you just get drugged here? Do you know, when I was a kid, before I got saved, I got drugged to church a lot. Made to go. You know, you might feel like you're made to go because your husband comes or your wife comes or your children comes. And, boy, you just don't have to deal with all that. But listen today. Why? What is their motive? I believe their motive, right? They love the Lord. You know what makes an extraordinary church? They've got an extraordinary motive because they want to serve Him today. We lose sight of Him, we're messed up. We lose sight of Him in the choir, we're messed up. I lose sight of Him while I'm preaching. The drive of this church, I must be about Him today. It's an extraordinary church. Has the right motive. Extraordinary church. Now this is where it gets a little tough. Puts aside its will for the Lord's will. Extraordinary church puts aside its will. They were serving God in the midst of when they had little strength. I believe they were serving God in the midst of a time when it was not necessarily easy to serve the Lord. Now, I know all the ramifications of these chapters. I understand that. I know how to divide it all up, put it into time periods. And the Philadelphia church is probably talking about the days of the church of grace and maybe even the time that we're in now. But we're rolling over into the church of Laodicea, by the way. The church of Laodicea was very prideful and didn't see the need to have the Lord. They had everything they needed worldly-wise, but they didn't have the Lord. So notice right here, let me ask you, if their desire was right, which was to serve, I want you to do something. Take your Bible and go to the book of Nehemiah. I believe Nehemiah chapter 4. I just want to show you something. Nehemiah chapter 4.
Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah. And then Esther. How's that? I'll help you out that way. I had Bible study with my nephew and his wife the other night. Me and Miss Kelly did. And I love to aggravate him. I do. I love my nephew. And so I was going to the book of 2 Samuel. And I said, son, that comes after 1 Samuel. And so we were in the book of 2 Corinthians at one time. And I said, son, that comes after 1 Corinthians. And I love to aggravate him. He's just fun to aggravate. But I want you to look in Nehemiah chapter. Nehemiah chapter 4, I believe, is where we need to be. Now, you know what's going on in the book of Nehemiah? They're rebuilding the wall. Nehemiah's come back and that to set up Jerusalem, and they're rebuilding the wall. Man, they've had so much work to do, come by rebuilding that wall. You've got to understand, Jerusalem has been destroyed. The walls have been destroyed. There's so much trash sitting around. I mean, just rubbish. The Bible calls it rubbish. I believe it does. And they've got to clean all this up. But I want you to look in verse 6 of Nehemiah 4. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the height thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Where's your mind set at? I mean, our motive gets right. We want to serve God. But then what's our mindset? It's my time or His time? Are you saying I can't do anything I want? That ain't what I'm saying. Anyway, I do a lot of things I want to do. Me and my wife, we go out a lot of times on Saturday, especially Saturday afternoon, maybe around lunchtime. We may just go loafer for a while. We'll get in the car and say, where you want to go? We've been known to flip a nickel and just say, heads is south and tails is north, or vice versa. And we'll just take off. And maybe we'll spend 3 or 4 hours and just get out and loaf around. I don't think God's got a problem with that. Because even in that 3 or 4 hours, man might run into somebody and hand them a gospel tract and serve him in the process. But notice they had a mind to work. If I'm not mistaken, they built that wall. They cleaned it up and built that whole wall in 52 days. They had a mind to work. Their motive was right because that's what they wanted to do. But then their mind got right. Their mindset got right and wanted to do it. So I think it's a lot of people want to do good, want their church to do good, as long as you don't ask me to do it. Don't ask me to participate. Don't ask me to teach a Sunday school class. You ever seen people like that? Bless God, they'll complain about things, but they will not take part in things. Hello? I'm telling the truth, ain't I? I ain't dumb. I've gone to church all my life. I've been saved all my life. But I grew up in it all my life. I've watched it happen. Most of the time, people that are doing something, they don't complain that much. Because their motive is right. I said most of the time, not all the time. But when your motive gets right and your mindset gets right, you'll want to serve God. You'll want to serve and have to see the message go forward. And be honest with you, I want to see our church go forward. But their mindset, or boy, I dug a hole back there a few minutes ago. Maybe I ought to plow a little bit right there. You know, if you ain't going to do nothing, you ought not to complain. Amen. If you ain't going to pick it up and carry the load, don't complain about somebody else not picking up and carrying the load. Pick up and carry the load for a while. We put aside our will and submit and that to the Lord's will to be an extraordinary church. We're kind of like in Isaiah 6 where Isaiah is waving his hands after he got right and said, here am I, send me, you know. The motive of this church ought to be to serve the Lord and to do it because we love Him. The work of this church ought to be to go out and promote the gospel. The desire of this church should be to send out missionaries and send out evangelists and to send out door knockers. People don't want to see us come. Sure, they don't want to see us coming. You know where the Bible said, most of y'all know this, but I'll tell you this story if y'all don't know this. You know, the Bible said to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. All right, now stay with me, and I'm going to tell you where this come in at. Me and Miss Kelly and Jeremiah and Sarah Beth, and this was Titus Little. One of them boys was little. It was either Titus or Silas. And I don't know who, I can't remember who else was with us. But we were just walking around this community right here on this loop right here. We started right out over here and went up there and was just visiting in the community and door knocking. Now, the year before, me and Jeremiah had stopped at a house right up here on top of the hill, knocked on the door, lady comes to the door, opens the door, we say, "We're from," and she slams the door right back in our face. Well, don't guess we're going to give her a track. So we started here and we're walking all the way around up through here, and I knew that time was coming. I knew that time was coming. And I'm thinking, me and Jeremiah was talking about, what are we going to do right here? And I don't remember if it was one of the ladies, I believe it was one of the ladies that was with us, that figured out, well, maybe if Miss Kelly and Miss Sarah go down there and got a baby in their arm and a track in their other hand, maybe she won't slam the door on them. And they go down there and knock on the door. She opens the door and she gets ready to slam it back. But I'm telling you, that kid in Miss Sarah's arms made all the difference in the world. Be harmless. What is it? Wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Got a track in her hand. Sometimes you got to get a little inventive with some things. If you're going to get a track in somebody's hand. I don't know what they done with it, but that's not up to us. That's up to them. What's our motive, though? And our desire? Huh? Colossians 1 said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I believe our desire, our motive ought to be to please Him, but to do well and to do good in everything that we do and to bear fruit. You know that it's good for Sunday school teachers to want to teach well. Don't you want to teach well, Sunday school teachers? Don't you want to do well? Don't you want people to be able to grasp and comprehend what you're saying? I've said under people and listened to them teach, and when I get up and leave, I'm like, man, that was good. They taught me something from the Word. I understand the Holy Spirit has to get involved and all. I understand that. But there's been times I've got up and I thought, man, what did they say? What did they say? I want to teach well. When I stand to teach, I know I teach and preach on Wednesday nights. I listen, but when I stand to teach, I just want to teach well. And that goes with spending some time alone with God. Study of the Scripture that you're going to teach. And spending time. And you know, there's nothing wrong with finding examples to go with what you're trying to teach. There's nothing wrong with that. But listen, we need to spend more time in the Word of God more than trying to find examples of what we're trying to teach, because it's the Word of God that will make all the difference. When I stand to preach, I want to preach, and that with power from on high, but I want to preach well. Don't you want me to preach well? Have maybe a little life about me while I'm, but man, I can't stand a monotone preacher. I can't. Listen, I've heard some good men that hardly ever raise their voice. I tell Brother Jeff, I met Brother Jeff's granddad, and he was on that mage when I met him. And so, Brother John, he would get lively. I'd seen him get lively in his older age. But man, I go back and listen to them tapes when he's in his younger age. Man, he was lively. He'd get with it, man. And I'm talking about when he was in his 50s. That's where them tapes roll back to, probably, when he was in his 50s. Some liveliness. But I want to preach well. I want to do well. Not to please you, but to please the Lord. Don't you want to sing well? I'm talking about what's your motive. Why would you get up and sing? You get up in the choir and sing. Why do we get up in the choir and sing? Well, we're not singing. I know you're out here listening, but we're not singing to sing to you. We're singing to sing to Him and about Him. I want to do everything well and do it all for His glory. Hey, when I sit over here and have to play one of these instruments, I want to play well. Y'all surely don't want me to get up here and hit a bunch of clunkers. Listen, most of the time Brother Marvin plays, trust me, I want him to play well. I ought not tell this on myself, but I ain't going to tell. I'm going to move on. Whatever we do, we'll do for all the glory of God. and do it for Him. Our motive ought to be about Him. The extraordinary church has the right motive. It's not to promote the preacher. It's not to promote theirself, but to promote them. But then number three, I want you to see about this church, and in all of it, they maintain their faith and their faithfulness. They maintain their faith and their faithfulness. Notice that He told them right here, He says, I know thy works. He said, I put before thee an open door no man can shut. He said, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. They've been faithful in all of it. And they've held on to Him. They've kept their faith and their faithfulness. Boy, I tell you, this past year and a half has shined a light on a lot of folks' faithfulness, hasn't it? Amen. Shine a lot of light on folks' faithfulness. They have given up. I think a lot of folk were looking that have quit. I think a lot of them were looking for a reason to quit, and they found it. They found a reason to quit church. Amen. Where's this church going to be if you quit? Where's this church going to be if you just hit and miss? You know what I learned a long time ago? There's always going to be people that hit and miss. There is. There's always going to be people that hit and miss. And you know what? They're not going to be the ones that carry the load. And that's what makes me want to pull my hair out. When you've got, you know the old saying that 10% do 90% of the work? That's true. That's just true. I don't know any other way to explain that. But if you don't believe that, what are you doing? Just asking a question. Hello? A lot of folk have forsaken even coming to church. Scripture said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, let me say this, here's where we mess up. We know that people are missing church and they're getting sidetracked from church, but He said, exhort one another. Lift them up. Encourage them to come on to church. Encourage them to come and serve God. Encourage them, friend. Encourage them. Instead of beating on them, encourage. You know what I do? I beat on a lot of people a lot of times. And sometimes they need it. But I learned, I'll never forget, I don't know if it's my pastor that taught me this or another one, but I remember they were saying, some of y'all know this, is shepherds only shear sheep once a year, they feed all the time. But we get in the shearing mode, and you know, the more you shear sheep, the more chances are you're going to cut him before it's over with. Especially if you don't know what you're doing. But He said right here, we're to encourage one another, exhort one another, and He said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't believe He's talking about as you see Sunday coming or as you see the Lord's day coming. I believe as you see Him coming. I believe this thing's wrapping up, friend. We're coming to an end. But the love, and up we go. I'll never forget, I forget who was in the hospital up at UT. And for some reason, I decided I'd come home down 129, come back into Alcoa, and come home through Maryville. I might have been going to see my sister. I don't know. But as you come down Highway 129, coming into Alcoa, there is a railroad track. If you're coming down toward Alcoa and Maryville, there's a railroad track on the right in the woods. There's some woods between you and it. Not much, but I forgot that railroad track was there. And I was coming down through there, and minding my own business, and I probably couldn't have been from here to the fellowship hall to that train, and he laid down on that horn. Now, when you don't know that's coming, that'll scare the fire out of you. I thought I was leaving here. I thought the trumpet had sounded, and I was looking to go up. How many of us are looking for the trumpet? And so much the more as you see the day approach. Shouldn't we be encouraging those who may not be so faithful to get in and keep on serving? Because, man, we've got work to do. We've got work to do. Encourage them to be faithful and get after the Lord's business. I'm not here to make you feel bad about yourself. If you're feeling bad about yourself, that's the Holy Spirit this morning, friend. how that we're to keep on witnessing. I mean, being faithful. We need to keep on coming to church. We need to keep on witnessing. We need to keep on singing. We need to keep on preaching. Just need to keep on doing what we're doing. Being faithful. That's what makes the extraordinary church. The church at Philadelphia didn't quit what they were doing when things got hard. Can I tell you, it's easy to serve God when it's simple or when times is going good. It's easy to serve God when times is going good. Man, when there's a spirit of revival in the church, it's easy to come to church and worship. It's easy to raise your hand. Ain't it? What about when everybody's sick and three of them's gone on vacation? Just a little tough sometimes. But we keep on doing what we're supposed to be doing. Job said in Job 13, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I'll maintain mine own ways before him, he said. I'll keep on doing what I... He said, I'm going to trust him. He's going to kill me, but I'm going to trust him. Everything Job went through, he still trusted God. We're faithful. And the faithful will keep on faith and trust. We just keep on trusting the Lord and doing what we're supposed to be doing. Now let me ask you something about our church this morning. Are we extraordinary? Or are we just extraordinary? In light of God's Word today, what are we? That's a question you've got to answer on your own. What are we? Are we extraordinary or are we just ordinary? Are we just getting by and doing what we can just to come to... Can I tell you that there's some people, and I hope there ain't none of you in here like this, that feel like that they've done their job, they've done their duty to come to church, put their money in the plate, and you need to do all that, and then that's it. That's all that's required. Oh no, there's far more than that required. I want to be an extraordinary church. I want to be an extraordinary church. But to be an extraordinary church, we've got to be all about Him. To be extraordinary. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house.